Good morning. Happy Sabbath day to you. Good to see you today. I want to say hello to those of you online today. Welcome. As you can see, we're without one of the screens today. So I want to thank James Lester for getting one of them working and that we have one today. And he tried for quite a while to get them both working. So this one's not coming on. So if you can't see well enough, you know, you can please feel free to move around the room. But anyway, I just want to thank James and also Dorian for working on that here this morning. So technical difficulties, but I'm glad we got one going because this is going to be easier for us to go through this sermon today. So we are continuing on the new creation. You are God's new creation. And today we're going to continue on this series. This is part number 5, going through Genesis chapter 1 as a roadmap to us being a new creative work in Christ Jesus. And so we can see, if we look at the days we've covered so far, we see how just as God commanded to let there be light on the earth, so did God shine the light of Christ in our lives. And what it revealed is that there was death and there was darkness upon the earth. And the darkness goes away by the light, but the death was still there. And inasmuch as God had to pull the earth out of waters of death so that there could be life, so he pulled us out of the waters of baptism, where we confess that we were sinners. When we confess that we were worthy of death because of our sin, he brought us out to give us a new life in Jesus Christ. And we see how God works in our lives. And not only does he pull us out of the waters of baptism, but then he says, receive my Holy Spirit. And we receive the waters of life. And from that life that comes from his living waters, he commands that fruit would be produced, that there would be fruit trees, that there would be grasses that would come forward. And in the same way in our lives, so does he beautify us. He begins producing fruit in our lives. But it's not just to beautify us. It's not just to be self-contained, but it's to give to others. And so what does God do? He brings along the living creatures. And it's the living creatures that are partaking of all that God is producing in the earth. And we realize that God wants us to not only be producing fruit, to not only have a relationship with him, to not only know the truth of who he is, but to share that life with others. And that is so amazing what God does in his creative work. And we know that we stay on course because he has given us the light of truth, that we would always walk in his ways, that we would be found in his presence, that we would be going in his paths. And all of this work that he does on the earth is to lead us to where we get to now, which is the last half of day 6. Notice here in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I think this is one of those verses that you just need to really think about it. Sometimes we can wonder, sometimes we can have doubt in our life. Does God really love us? Does God really care about us? Is he really interested in who I am and what I'm doing? And God says right from the very beginning in the first chapter that he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Do you ever think about just the whole thought? Because as we go through this new creative work that God is doing in our lives, one of the things that should be so evident to us is how vested God is in our lives. And sometimes it is easy for us because God does not choose at this point in time to reveal himself to us, but rather to have us live by faith, have us walk by faith, not by sight, but by believing and trusting in him, that he is doing something so amazing in us that we are here not by chance, but on purpose, that God is holding all this world together for us, that he's creating all these different aspects of our lives because he wants us to be his. He wants us to be in his image and likeness. What we're seeing in these days of creation is a revelation of who God is and who God wants us to be. Because what is God doing? He is making us in his image, in his likeness. Why does God want us to know the truth? Why does God want us to have of his Holy Spirit? Why does God want us to be fruit producers? Why does God want other living creatures to be fed by the fruit that is being produced through us? Because that's the way God is. God uses his power and his dominion to be a blessing to others. He is a humble, loving, kind, compassionate, merciful God. And he's saying, I want you to be like me. And the thing is that we can see the creative works of God in Genesis 1 and the way God does it. But do we see it in our lives? Do we see the way that Christ is shining on us? Do we see the truth? Do we want to come out of the darkness? Do we want to come out of the depravity? Do we want to walk according to his truth? Or do we just want to go our own ways? And see, all of this is about a process of creation that is happening in us that happens because we submit to God and what he is doing in our lives. And so it is a beautiful thing to think that the whole reason you exist is because God wanted to create you and me in his image, in his likeness, and he wants us to have dominion over the things that he has made in this earth. And so it says, so God created man in his own image. Again, back to Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and, notice, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So this is where God's heart is for mankind right from the beginning. Do you see that this is God's heart for you? He wants to do these three things, these three concepts. First, do you know and believe that God is making you in his image? Do you see it as anything less than what God says he's trying to do? Do you see that God is making you in his image because he wants to give you dominion? He wants you to have dominion. But see, God is not going to give dominion to those that are selfish, right? Those that are not compassionate, those that are not loving, that are not kind. He wants the dominion of his kingdom to be filled with those who are like him that have the same character and the same heart as he does. And then God made us to bless us, to be fruitful and to multiply, to subdue the earth and to fill it. Now, as much as we can read this in Genesis 1, this is actually a theme that is throughout the scriptures, that God made you on purpose for his purpose, that he's made you to be his own child. It talks about in John chapter 1 that he gave us the right to become the children of God to those who believe in him, who are not born of the will of man, but who are born of the will of God. Notice here in Genesis 2, 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So our beginning is that we are dust. We are the earth. And you and I are animated, walking, talking earth. That's what we are. It's amazing that God could form us from the dust of the ground. He could breathe into us the breath of life. We could come alive. We can have these shared experiences that we have together. But when this time on the earth is done, what do? We go right back to the dust. But God has a greater hope for us than just what is dust. And that's the beautiful thing, that as God created us of dust in his image and likeness, he is creating us of also of the Spirit in his image and likeness. Notice with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 to 49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. We just read that. And Adam became, the last Adam, that is speaking of Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That's you and me. We are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Do you believe that? Who is the heavenly man? Jesus. And do you believe that you will bear the image of Jesus? Because that is what this is saying, and it's a profound truth. It's almost too good to be true, what is being offered to us, what is being promised to us, but that is right from your Bible. You don't need to take my word for it. You can read what it says for yourself in 1 Corinthians 15. I will never forget sitting in my room back in Illinois, 15-year-old kid, and I read 1 Corinthians 15 for the first time, and I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? No one ever told me this. No one ever told me there was a resurrection from the dead. No one ever told me that Christ was the first fruits born from the dead, that is, in Adam all die, even so, and Christ should all be made alive. But as it says, each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and then those who are his at his coming. Finally, a plan started to come together. You realize, where did all this begin? How did all this happen? Because everything about everlasting life, everything about becoming who God was making us to be, was not centered around this physical, temporary life on earth, which is but a vapor, but everlasting life. And how did that everlasting life come? It came through Jesus Christ. It did not come by our own will. It did not come by our own goodness. It came because of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who saw us in sin, who came to us and said, I will give you life. I will be your life. I will show you what life is. I will show you what it is to walk in eternal ways. And that is why God is making us a new creation. He did not come to just save us that we might be conscious for eternity. He came so that we could be his for eternity, walking in his ways, being his children, being like him. It's not enough to have life if we're not like him. What a miserable life it would be to reject the goodness of God, to be found in selfishness and pride and arrogance. That kind of eternity, that kind of immortality is miserable. The blessing comes when we are like him. And he wants us to be like him. And we will be like him, as it is promised here. Even in bodily form, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So what started as a work in the dust of the earth is going to be found in our glorification. God made us to glorify us. Did you know that's why you're here? See, these things should be humbling, sobering. They should spur us on to the way that we live and walk, that we do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but we become transformed by the renewing of our mind, because there is a hope that God has put before us, that we would walk in his ways, that we would see his ways and know them, and that we would be forever changed. So, continuing on here, God's taking you and me from dust to glory. Notice this here in Romans chapter 8, 29. Beautiful verses. For whom he foreknew, that's you. He knew you. Ephesians 1 says, before the foundation of the world, he foreknew you. These he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you see what a beautiful and perfect calling this is? Why did God make you? He wants you to be his kid. What kind will you be like? You'll be a kind like him. He made you to be conformed to the image of his own son. So as we read last week, every animal he made according to his own, its own kind, its own likeness. All of the cats look like cats. All the cows look like cows. All the whales look like whales. And what happens? You never see one kind having a different kind. So there is microevolution that can be the variations, right? People, animals, different color hairs, different color skins, different characteristics, but the same kind. And we never get confused by this, right? You never see that your dog at home is pregnant and something else is coming out. We're never waiting to say, what's coming out of this thing? I don't know. We always know because God put a law in place. Kind comes after kind, right? You don't go looking at the cow and thinking an elephant's coming out. It doesn't happen. The same kind comes out, and God made it that way. But when it came to all the animals, they all had their own kind. When it came to mankind, he's like, no, I'm going to make you in my own image and in my own likeness. This is the honor of life that you and I have been born into, that we are conscious and we are aware that the God of the universe decided to create in his own image, in his own likeness. He is bringing forth children, and you and I get to be a part of that. And it's not by our own strength. It is not by our own righteousness. It's not by our own goodness. It is by faith in him who has done the work that we might be his. We will no more become children of God than we became children born of a man and a woman on this earth. We didn't really have any to do with it. We just kind of became. And God, in the same way, is creating us. The one thing he asks us for is our faith and trust in him. Faith and trust in what he's doing. And so for whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. If you say, what is my life to be? It's to be conformed to the image of his son. Are you becoming conformed to the image of his son? Do you see the gospel being manifest in your life? Are you obedient to the gospel? The word talks about this. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is not food and drink. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right, Linda? Righteousness, peace, and joy. How do you know if you're becoming conformed to the image? Because the image of our King in us and that conforming nature will produce a righteousness, a peace, and a joy in the Holy Spirit. If you see your life before Christ, these are the characteristics you should be seeing. This is how the kingdom of God manifests within us and how the kingdom of God will spread to the whole earth. And we're going to talk about that. But that is the power of dominion. What is the dominion of Christ in you? That you would come to know what it is to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Remember that. This is a manifestation of Christ. It is being conformed to his image. Notice that he, that is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did you know you were called to be his brethren? Do you see that calling? That you were called to be a child of God. Moreover, than whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he glorified. So, what does he do? He says, I want you, Linda, I'm picking on you because you were right there with me on those Romans verses. I want you, Linda, to be my child forever. I'm calling you and saying, this is why I made you, Linda. I want you to come and be called. Will you accept Jesus Christ? Yes, she says. Yes. Now you can be justified because of your faith in Jesus Christ and know that being justified by Christ, he removes you from death and sin. He gives you the hope and the promise of righteousness and everlasting life so that you might be glorified with him. Isn't that beautiful? And that's for every person who will receive. The kids said it today. We had a number of kids say it, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It is to be justified. It is to be glorified in Christ. And this is the way that God made it to be. We just need to get out of our own ways and humble ourselves before Almighty God and realize what we talked about on the day one of this series of sermons. In the beginning, God, we are not God. He is God and we are his creation and we are his new creation being created in Christ Jesus that we would be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I want you to really focus on that being conformed to the image of his son because sometimes we hear the phrase, well, I can't do that. That was Jesus. I can't do what's right all the time. That was Jesus. But everything about our lives is to be coming to live and walk like Jesus. And what does it say? That if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. Notice this going on in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 to 18. So the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So he brings us out of bondage. He delivers us from darkness and death. He brings us into the glorious liberty that is found in him. And notice, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Whose image? The image of the Lord's, right? His image is what we're being transformed into. And notice, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we have been talking about this process in this sermon series of becoming a creation of God, right? So the earth was covered in darkness. It was formless. It was without form and it was void. And then it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then when the Spirit of God moved upon, God says, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let those waters be removed. He creates an expanse called heaven. God forms the land and brings forth the dry ground. He puts in the living waters. He commands grasses and fruit to come forward. He creates the sun, the moon, the stars, and all these points of light that give us direction, that give us a knowledge of where we are and what we're to do and where we're supposed to go. And he brings forth creatures to be partaking of the life that he's created upon the earth. All of these things are for us to understand that we are in a creative process being changed and transformed by the Spirit of the Lord into the very image of Jesus Christ. His work is a marvelous work. And I hope that you're seeing that in it and just realizing that you are here for such a profound thing. Don't blow it on the things of the world, because the world wants you to be distracted from what God is doing. But God is saying, no, this is what I'm doing. I want to transform you into the same image from glory to glory that you see in Jesus Christ. So if you say, what am I shooting for? I am here to be conformed to the image of Christ. I am here to be transformed by the Spirit of God into the image of Christ. I realize that God is doing a work in me to create me new. And this is why I'm alive. This is the whole reason that I have been created by God, is that I might be conformed to the image of his Son. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21 say, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it might be conformed to his glorious body. What kind of body are you going to get? Body like the Lord's. If you want to know more about that body, go to the book of Revelation when John actually sees the Lord. A beautiful glorified body, not the human body. We sometimes still want to think about Christ according to the flesh, but Christ is glorified in heavenly places and sits at the right hand of our Father. So he will transform our lowly body that it might be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I remember in Genesis 1 when we were reading about the creation of man that God says he blessed us that we would fill the earth and subdue it. God is subduing us. He gave us the dignity of choice, but he is subduing us that we might voluntarily say, I choose love. I choose righteousness. I choose justice. I choose humility. I choose thankfulness. I choose joy. I choose your kingdom first. And as it says in Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, and the people will come forth of their own free will in the day of your power. And our time in this life is to look at our glorious God. We start every worship service with song. We enter his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. We want to worship him. Don't ever neglect worshiping God. Don't ever neglect pouring your heart out to God. If you come here and you're interested in the teaching and are unwilling to worship, I'm not sure the word is having the effect on you that it should be. Because if you can ignore the worship and come for a teaching, you might be filled up and puffed up in the wrong way by God's word and not realizing that the whole point of God's word is to bring us to a place of worship where we rend our hearts to God, where we look to him and say, you are everything to me, God. Not just in theory and not just in mental assent, but with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why do you think God says that's the first commandment? You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That is not just about intellect. It's not just about fact. It's our whole being. He was the one that put emotion on us. He's the one that put passion in us. What are we driving toward in life? God is saying, don't drive according to the things of the world. Do not be conformed to that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you would prove what is that good and perfect will of God. And God wants us to see that. Why do you think he brings David forth as an example? And Michael, Michelle, she's looking at David saying, he's out there making a fool of himself. The king is out there dancing, twirling around. What a show you made. And David said, I was doing it unto the Lord. Why is it that we want to look at people who are worshiping God and judge them for the way they're doing it when they have a wholeheartedness? See, she was looking through a glass window. She wasn't participating in the worship with her husband, David. She was critiquing him from a distance. If you find yourself in a place of critiquing those who are worshiping God, I would ask you to step back from the window and maybe just start dancing along with them. Right? David said, I'm going to be even more undignified than this. You think I was being undignified because of the way? I'll be more undignified. And sometimes there is this attitude that God wants us to have to realize we got to throw off the shackles. We can go through motions. Guys, it is about sincerity of heart and mind according to the truth that we come before God with a passion. Do not go away from emotion. Just make sure emotion is following truth. So remember, David also danced when they were carrying that ark, but they were not following the word of God. Do you remember? They didn't read. And so instead of having men carrying it, they had animals carrying it, right? And they had people there. And obviously, when the ark was touched to prevent it from falling, right? Uzzah died. He died. They were dancing. They were worshiping. They were praising, but it wasn't according to truth. But when David and the men went back and read the scripture and they realized they weren't transporting the ark the way God said, and now they're carrying the ark the way God said, now they're dancing, now they're praising, now it's beautiful. And that's how every feast is. That's how all of our worship is. It must be based in the truth. So that is why God set the lights to rule the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness, to make distinction. And we need God's word to make distinction in our lives, to be who God wants us to be. And that is how he transforms us into the image of his son. It's through the same word. Jesus never broke the word. He never once sinned. Why? Not because it was him. It was his whole thought. It was his whole mind. You and I are being transformed into the same mind as Christ that we might be like him and be conformed to this will. But this is how we are being subdued. We need to have our flesh, that is, our lusts, the desires that are against God, the things that we want that are not conformed to him, we need to have all of that subdued. And the kingdom of God will flourish in your life and my life when we really acknowledge Christ as Lord and acknowledge his sovereignty and acknowledge him as king and allow ourselves to be subdued to his greatness and his ways. 1 John 3, 1-3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. You could just think about that one all day. Who am I that you would love me this much? Who am I? Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Be who you are before God and remember that. The world does not know us. Be who you are. Beloved, now we are the children of God and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Isn't that beautiful? This whole hope that we have in Christ Jesus, of who we are to be in Christ, is all coming to pass because of this hope. It's purifying us. It's changing us. He's transforming us into the image of his son. So just know that God is creating us to be his children. You were not created to be somebody else's children. You were not created to be the pet in the backyard. You were created to be the child in the house. That's who you were made to be. And he does this, creating us in his image and likeness, body, mind, and spirit. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Do you believe that God, the Father in heaven, is your Father? Because seeing him as your Father is really essential to this whole gospel plan. To not seeing yourself as being separate from God, to not having the thoughts that God is, well, is God interested in me? Does God care about me? And I know that humanly we have doubts. And when we sin, we think, well, God doesn't care anymore. Or we're not doing the right things. God doesn't care anymore. But God saw us doing the wrong things, and that's why he sent his son to die for us. He paid the highest price at the moment that humans would say he would be disinterested. He basically paid everything for us to be near to him. That's how dear you are. And again, if you will just meditate on these things are life-changing thoughts that when God loves you so much, you know, in 1 John chapter 4, it says that we might know and believe the love that God has for us. It is life-changing to know and believe his love. It makes us different. But to know that we can call on him as Abba, our dear dad, and say, "I need your help. I need you, God. I want to praise you. I want to bless you." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. I read these verses and I'm like, who am I that I would be a joint heir with Christ? Who am I? I am who God is making me to be. It's his plan, it's his choice. The right that we get, have been given through Christ to be a child of God, is something that we accept by faith. And we either believe it or we don't. That faith is what makes the difference. Everything that God has needed to do to make you and me his child is done. And the work that would happen in each of us individually and personally will happen according to faith. That's how it works. Believe the things that you've been promised, the things that he's said to you, and this will become a reality. Notice in Luke 6:36, he says, "Be merciful just as your Father also is merciful." The whole heart and essence of God is that we would become like him. That the character. You remember when God was declaring his name? He said, "I will declare my name." He says, "Yahweh, Yahweh God." This is back in Exodus 34. And the first word he says of his name, of who he is, of declaring his glory to us, is merciful. It's the first word. You think God could have said anything. "I'm the most powerful. No one stands before me. I created everything. I'm bigger, stronger, better than any of you." The first sign of his strength and his glory is Yahweh, Yahweh God, merciful. Don't ever forget that was the first thing he said to declare his glory to you and me. And the glory that he wants to see in us as he brings us to glory is the same word, merciful. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. He also says things like, be forgiving, just as I forgave you. He says here in Matthew 5:48, "You shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." That is complete, that is mature, that is knowing God and being like God. And notice in 1 Peter 1, verses 15 to 16, "And he who, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy." There are so many pursuits that we can have in our world that have nothing to do with holiness. But God has said, "I don't want you to be common. I want you to be separate." You know, a lot of his law, he says, "I don't want you to be like the world. I want you to be separate. I want you to think separately. I want you to eat separately. I want you to be separately, govern separately. I want you to have a different way of doing things that's holy and just and righteous. And that is what God has called us into. And we need to receive of his righteousness and know that this work will come about in our lives and that he will make us holy by his Holy Spirit in us. So again, God made us to be heirs, to be inheritors of his, and to have a dominion on the earth. Notice with me here in 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 to 12. 2 Timothy 2, 10 to 12. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So just as we said that we are not saved for ourselves alone, but how we can give and share to others, so the Apostle Paul does, saying he endures all things. And notice he says, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. We were destined to have dominion. Notice here in the prophecies of Daniel, starting in Daniel 7, 13 to 14, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. So here is this one, the Son of Man, receiving his inheritance, receiving what he is to have from God the Father. And he is an heir, obviously, of God the Father, and he's been given it. And he's said, even before he left the earth, all authority and power has been given unto me. And it says here that his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it? Because we have kingdoms and governments all over this world that bring so much heartache and harm, that bring death and destruction because of selfishness as opposed to love. Notice now that in Daniel 2, verses 22, and also we'll read 27, a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Did you know it's the destiny of the saints to possess the kingdom, to be given the kingdom, and to rule with the king? It's the beauty of being called by Christ now, to be those who are his at his coming, and to realize that the saints, those who have been sanctified by Christ, are to be ruling with him. Why does he want us to be these new creations? Because in order to rule effectively, we have to be like him. We have to be conformed to his image, because rulership apart from godliness yields disaster and chaos and all manner of harm and pain. We have to yield to the same rule of life that God has created for us. He is life, and his way is life. So dominion is a beautiful thing under the dominion of God, who is benevolent and loving. But it is one of the worst things under man, right? The saying is, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's for man. That is what we see. Mankind with pride, mankind with lust, without godliness, makes a mess of authority. But here, the dominion is based on what God has created us to be. Notice in Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It shall not be left to other people, but to what people will it be left? To the saints. Right? We just read that. It says, it came time for the saints to possess the kingdom, and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms of heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. It's not going to be given to anybody else. It'll only be to those who have sanctified their lives in Christ Jesus and are his. So he'll be giving that dominion to his saints that they may rule. Notice in Matthew 20, 25 to 28, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Everything that God gives us, everything, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, is a power that God is giving us to basically enact what he wants on this earth. And when we think about what we read in Ephesians 1, how when we think of our citizenship in heaven, that God, it says in Ephesians 1, I believe it's verse 3, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What do you lack? What do you not have? Can God bless you with a word of wisdom or a word of encouragement? Can God bless you with the gift of healing or of a working of miracles? Can God bless you with the gift of prophecy or a spirit of discernment? What do you need? Because God is saying, I have all this for you. I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places that you might be the person that I called you to be and that you might do the things that I've called you to do, that you would fulfill your place in my kingdom and in God's family. Don't sell yourself short on something less than what God has called you to. And realize that God is calling out for a people who have a holy desire for him, who are jealous for him like he is jealous for us, who desire to be near him, who want to be in his presence, to have his judgments, to have his blessings, so that when we have these encounters with each other, we are ready from a spirit of love and of mercy and of graciousness and of goodness. Your life, as you look at your life, see what God is doing and how you are ready to meet the needs of others because of his spirit and his word and his power within you. That's the magnificence of life. God wants love. He wants to see a manifestation of love, the manifestation of his spirit in our lives. He wants to see the charisma, the grace coming forward in life. And he gives it to us who are seeking. He says, seek spiritual gifts. He says, again, diligently seek spiritual gifts. Earnestly do it. If you haven't been seeking spiritual gifts for your day, when you get up in the morning and say, God, I'm coming here to Rock Valley today. I don't know what I'm going to face. There might be people there. Bless me. Bless me with the spiritual gifts I need for today. Do not leave me powerless to help, but give me what I need for that moment. You don't know what it's going to be, maybe. You show up here, but God is all sufficient, and he is able to make us all sufficient in every way for whatever the occasion demands. And let's remember that our God wants us to be engaged in his good service, and he wants us to be like Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. You and I give our lives as a ransom when we kneel down to pray to God for other people. We give our lives as a ransom when we're saying, you're the most important thing before me right now. You love the one who's before you, and you do it as Jesus would do to that person. You think of others, you care for others in a way that God cares for others, and that is how we are conformed to his image. Revelation 1 verses 5 to 6 says that Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you know that he did that? See, I think we should recognize who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God. Are you a king and a priest? Do you really believe that? You do. We're solid on it? How does it change your life when you realize that Christ poured out his life, his own blood, to make you a king and a priest? See, I think sometimes we don't want to acknowledge what we've been made to be. And the faith isn't so much, or the lack of faith isn't so much in what Jesus did, but rather who he made us to be. We don't believe that we're kings and priests. We don't believe that we have authority or hand before the throne of God. We don't recognize the fact that he says, hey, before Christ, I showed you in the first covenant, you can't even go into that Holy of Holies. Now I'm telling you, through Christ, I want you to go into that Holy of Holies with boldness, with confidence, to make your requests known to God. Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, the works that I did, you shall do also, and even greater works than these. What greater works? I don't know what those greater works are for you, but shouldn't you and I be seeking what those greater works are? If we are to see ourselves as a child of God, what impact would this have? Would we deny our heritage? Would we deny our family? Would we deny what Jesus did? If he spent such a huge price to make us kings and priests, would we not acknowledge that we were made to be kings and priests to our God? And that is now, and that is in the resurrection. It is today with the limited life we have, because we have the authority of Jesus Christ, our King, to go forward and make disciples, to be a blessing, and to receive from him the blessings that come and the rewards that come when he returns to this earth to reward his saints, to make us kings and priests. Notice Revelation 5, 9 to 10. It says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, speaking to Jesus Christ. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. God made us to have dominion as saints, to possess a kingdom that would not be left to others, but to those who embrace Christ and embrace our Father and realize who we are. Notice Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so there are prophecies about the saints, about rulership, about reigning, but God made us in his image and likeness and says, let them have dominion, because in his image and likeness, there is no sweeter kind of dominion that is known. His dominion is perfect because it is based not on selfishness, but on perfect love. Matthew 25, 20 to 21 says, so he who had received, this is breaking into the parable of the talents. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Sometimes we can think that being a king and a priest means if we're not doing some massive, huge, international, you know, global thing on this earth, that it's not who we're supposed to be. God gave some 5 talents, some 3, some 1. The other parable, right? Different talents to different people. What is God looking for in the giving of the talents? What was it that he said? Good and faithful, you were faithful over the few things that I gave you. You were faithful with it. You don't have to be me and I don't have to be you. We are each individual parts of a body. We all have our different parts and play different roles. What did God call you to be? What did God call you to do? What gifts has he given you that you can say, God has really blessed me in this way and I need to do this? And if you don't know, then start praying and saying, God, what did you make me to be? What did you want me to be as a part of your body? But what he is asking for is that with whatever he calls you to do, do it with all your might. Whatever he calls you to manage, be faithful in it. God wants to see your faithfulness. And it might just be that you are someone who God has praying for people. I was talking to somebody about this morning. Some of the people I treasure most in my life are the ones that constantly say, David, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, good, I need it. I know that they're sacrificing their time and their thought and their life for me. What better thing could you do for me but to appeal to our Father in heaven for something good? Now, this is a ministry that every one of us should be engaged in. Every one of us can do in some way. There's nothing that can prevent that. But if you're taking your life and saying, my life here is to be beseeching you, Holy Father, on behalf of James, on behalf of Denise, right? Every one of us can be involved in this. Every one of us can give our lives as a ransom. You don't even have to have working limbs to do that. If you are conscious and have thought in your head, you can accept Jesus Christ and you can come to the Father through Christ with boldness on behalf of others. None of us are limited in this ministry. The only thing that limits us is us. We have the opportunity to always come for others and to be faithful, at least in that. It is a talent we have all been given. It says, this is just some thoughts wrapping that up. So we're being created in God's image, in his likeness, so that we can rule and have dominion, in order that we who are in Christ Jesus can bring the love, humility, kindness, goodness, righteousness, and justice of God to the new world he's creating. So do you see that? We're created in his image that we would have dominion, that we could be fruitful and multiply by bringing the good things of God to other people. This is what life is. This is what God is doing, and this is what God wants us to participate with him in, and this is why he wants us in his image. Notice this, Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So we've been talking about the first heaven and the first earth and how it has a roadmap for us. But this is the new heaven and new earth. I want you to see what the new heaven and the new earth look like. What does the new creation look like? I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah is right. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Did you get that? He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. My friends, this is what it is to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Just go back with me now. We've read these, but just look. When he sees this new heaven and this new earth, the loud voice from heaven, what is it when there is a new heaven and a new earth? What is it when there's a new creation? The tabernacle of God is with men. And God in us. See, this is what the mystery of the ages is spoken of in Colossians. It says, the mystery of hidden from the ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is a hope of glory that is for you, why you were created in God's image and likeness in dust, and to be made in his image and likeness of spirit, is so that you and I can be a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that we would experience what this is, that he will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. There is a time when our Father and us will be dwelling at the same place, at the same time. Did you know that you were made to be his child forever? That this is the destiny of your life. This is why he predestined you, because he wants to be your God. He wants you to be his children. He wants to have fellowship with us. And notice here, not just that, but God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more death. no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain because it's all passed away. The first earth and all the former things that are in this earth, what do we see? Death, pain, sorrow, crying. All of the ways of the world bring that about. God is saying, no more. I'm not going to leave it to people that want it to be that way. I'm going to give it to people that want it to be a place of the blessing that's in God. He made us. He is forming us so that we can be a people with dominion to serve others and to bring life to everyone. I want you just to think for a moment of what God has created, because this is the good news of how we become like God, like we become conformed to Christ, and the whole world changes. God wants there to be a complete transformation in our lives individually and in the lives of everyone on this earth. The whole point is to bring forth his glorious kingdom to have a time like this. Who can make promises this big? That's a huge promise. But God can. By his Spirit, he can transform and change everything. And he is changing us now that we might live and rule and reign with Christ, that we might help in bringing about this glorious way and this glorious kingdom as a part of his family, and having all brought into his family and having a world like this. The kingdom of God, it's not about food and drink. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what this produces. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The ways of God in us to make all things new. And again, notice he said these words, they're true and they're faithful. This is going to happen. And he says it is done. So just as Christ said it is finished when he is on the cross and making his work, this finished work is when there is a completion of the work. In your life and in my life, we accept Christ as our Savior. It begins a work of salvation at the cross. But this work of making us a new creation continues on as he teaches us and matures us to become merciful like he is, to become perfect like he is, to become holy like he is. He is transforming us that we might partake with him in the same way of the kingdom and bring peace and service to other people. This is the heart and the nature of God. But here, when it is done, it will be done in our lives, and it will be done in the lives of all those who are part of this new heaven and this new earth. For he says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Could you have any better offer anywhere ever? Like, is there anything that compares to what God is offering? And the price that you pay is faith. That a God of love is the God of love that he declares himself to be to us. So God created us in his image so that we could be holy like him and have a mind like his, and that we would use the authority and the dominion he has given to us for the service of others and create a world in which there is no more death, sorrow, crying, or pain, because the former things have passed away. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you so much for your word of truth. We thank you so much for the new creation that you are making, and that you are just such an awesome God. We thank you so much for your promises. Truly, it is overwhelming when you tell us who we are, why we're here, what you're doing with us in life. And God, I ask that as we think about these verses, I ask that we would meditate on them and just be sobered by them and humbled by what you have chosen us to do, that we would not neglect our calling, that we would not chase the things of this world, nor allow ourselves to be of those who draw back to distraction, but rather, God, that we would be those who press in, that those who seek your face, who desire for your kingdom first and all of your righteousness, who desire for you to rule and reign in our lives, that you would bless us with every spiritual blessing that you already have provided for us in the heavenly and spiritual places, God, that you would bless us, that we might truly be a blessing to each other, and that, God, as we leave this place, that we would have our hearts stirred up to love and to good works, that wherever we go, back to our homes and our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, God, that you would just bless us to bring your goodness to others. Let us never be ashamed of who our father is or who our elder brother is. Let us never be ashamed of our family and what you're doing here on this earth, but always, out of great love and respect for you, to declare who we are and why we're here, to declare why you made the people who are around us, that they too might know that you are God, you are worthy of our worship and praise, and that you have made your son to be a sacrifice, that they might be forgiven, that they might have this life, and that they too might know what it is to have a rulership in heart and mind that brings about your righteousness, your peace, and your joy in the Holy Spirit. We praise you, Holy Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.